And everybody had high hopes for this republic. Ang laki at ang hirap ng task ni Cory. Unfortunately, she won't be able to escape the limitations of her class and the demands of her family's economic interests. Aminin natin, limitado ang demokrasyang naibalik pagkatapos ng EDSA.
Welcome back sa isa na namang episode ng podcast, Conversations on Philippine History, Politics, and Society. Ako si Aaron.
Ako si Lee.
I'm Ro.
And I am Vec. We continue our discussion sa episode na ito ng ating season, Shapers and Shakers, Personalities of the EDSA Revolution. And if we started the first half of our season with Ninoy Aquino, we pick up where we left off the second half with a discussion on the rest of the Aquino family.
Yes, we will be peeling back the layers of the Aquino family legacy in this episode, syempre relative to the EDSA Revolution. And of course, we will allot majority of our time discussing Corazon Aquino, no? Kasi siya naman talaga yung central figure. We are all historians here in this podcast, so we are very much aware of how she has become the leading figure of EDSA, and of course, post-EDSA. And these were very turbulent years, if I may say.
Tama, no? So in case nakalimutan na ng ating listeners, we already discussed some of Cory's legacies in an earlier episode of podcast when we analyzed her speech in the US Congress. Para sa episode natin today, baka mas magandang mas palalimin pa natin yung discussion.
And I would like to begin our discussion by highlighting how Cory and his legacy has become the focus of propaganda for decades now. Can you imagine? Dekada na. So with the reinvention of the events from 1986 and even beyond that time, it seems many among us remember Cory and the Aquino family in quite a negative light.
Naalala ko tuloy how she was portrayed in a propaganda film recently as playing mahjong in Cebu, kasama yung mga madre habang nagsisimula ng magtipon yung mga tao sa EDSA. Or yung pagsang-ayon niya na tumakbo nung snap elections to protect her family's economic interests.
Which is sometimes weird din, no? Kasi, di ba, I mean, yung context kasi, pinatay yung asawa niya, eh, di ba? Tapos yung accusation sa kanya is tumakbo lang siyang presidente kasi may selfish interests siyang pinangangalagaan or pinoprotektahan.
Ako yung pinaka nakakainis sa propaganda na yan, actually connected to that idea na may selfish interest siyang pinoprotektahan. Siguro ano after na yon nung naging presidente na siya. Or yung pinaka ayoko rin na sinasabi lagi, yung how can you trust someone like Cory who never exerted an effort to find out who killed her husband? Parang sobrang callous, sobrang sama nung ganung mga statements against her, I think.
Marami pa yan, ano, na pro-communist daw siya, samantalang si Ninoy naman daw ay komunista. I mean, of course, Cory isn't perfect. Alam naman natin yan. Pero parang to portray her as evil or as the villain in the story, it's just weird and out of line. At the same time, hindi rin naman natin pupurihin lang si Cory at ang mga Aquino sa episode na to. But perhaps we should emphasize na lahat ng mga personalidad sa kasaysayan natin ay mga tunay na tao na burdened by their identity, backgrounds, and decisions that they had to make. So take Cory as an example. She came from a political dynasty, yung mga Huangco ng Tarlac. But even before that, may kaugnayan na talaga sa politika ang pamilya niya.
Which we could root pa from the First Philippine Republic kasi yung lolo niya ay miyembro ng Malolos Congress. Yung tatay naman niya, politiko din during the Commonwealth period. Sa kanyang mother's side naman, very influential din kasi her mother is a Sumulong. And the Sumulong family has roots in Rizal at ang kanyang lolo, si Juan Sumulong, was a revolutionary hero who also became senator during the American period. At in fact, he even ran against Manuel Quezon noong 1941 presidential elections.
Tama, no? So Cory and Ninoy both hailed from families deeply rooted in our political history. Although I must emphasize lang ha, political skill or talent isn't inherited. Leadership and governance should transcend family ties, no, family lines. Anyway, Cory's union with Ninoy brought together two significant political legacies. And si Cory na mismo ang umamin, Ninoy was a consummate politician who harbored presidential aspirations. In fact, he was really eyeing the 1973 presidential elections before his ambitions were cut short by martial law.
And si Ninoy ay mula rin sa isang prominenteng political na pamilya, no? Matitrace natin yan mula pa sa lolo niya na naging general under Emilio Aguinaldo. Yung tatay naman niya ay naging senator at later nadilbihan pa sa presidency ni Laurel noong World War II. Yung nanay naman ni Ninoy ay mula sa isang mayamang angkan na may hasyenda.
This backdrop of economic and political privilege from which both Cory and Ninoy originated is actually very telling. Yet, it's important to note Cory's initial detachment from the political sphere in stark contrast to her husband's fervent involvement. I think this dynamic underscores the complexity of their narratives. Kumbaga, makikita natin yung papel ng personal na inclinations at societal roles and what decisions related to these from these politically influential and economic elites. At kung paano ito maiuugnay sa journey ng Pilipinas pabalik sa demokrasya.
Itong si Cory Aquino, hindi lang siya yung simbolo ng pagbabalik ng demokrasya, pero parang biktima rin siya ng pagkakataon. Hindi naman talaga niya plano, I suppose, na sumabak sa politika. Ang totoo niyan, si Ninoy talaga yung nasa harap ng oposisyon laban kay Marcos. Isang malaking twist sa kwentong Ninoy at Marcos ay yung nangyari sa Plaza Miranda noong August 21, 1971. Sa isang rally ng Liberal Party na miyembro si Ninoy, biglang may nagpasabog ng granada. Ang daming nasaktan at namatay. And ang catch, wala si Ninoy doon. Ayon sa sabi-sabi, may nag-tip sa kanya na hindi magandang ideya na pumunta siya dahil may mangyayaring hindi maganda. So, ang daming nag-speculate na baka si Marcos ang may pakana para magkaroon siya ng dahilan na mag-declare ng martial law. Pero ang isa pang twist dito, no, meron ding mga historians gaya ni Joseph Scales na nagsasabi na hindi mga Marcoses or hindi si Marcos ang nasa likod nito, kundi baka yung Partido Komunista. Actually, sabi ni Joseph Scales, yung Partido Komunista. Ang ideya daw, pinagmukhang si Marcos ang nasa likod ng pagbomba para mas mapabilis yung discontent at magtulak palalo sa mga Pilipino na sumali sa revolusyon.
At yes, very contentious yung point na yan, no? But we know that by the time that martial law was declared, Ninoy was one of the first to be arrested. And this brought the Aquino family to a difficult struggle, a difficult phase. Eventually, in 1977, Ninoy was found guilty, sentenced to death by firing squad, but Marcos commuted his sentence. When Ninoy ran for the 1978 parliamentary elections from his prison cell, Cory initially opposed the idea. But she had no choice but support him and even campaigned on his behalf. Na-involved din sa campaign na ito ang youngest child din na Ninoy and Cory, the 7-year-old Chris Aquino. Here's a clip of Chris campaigning for her father.
Ako po si Chris Aquino. Ako'y 7 taong gulang na. Ngunit halos 6 na taong gulang, hindi nakakapiling ang tatay ko si Ninoy Aquino. Sana'y tulungan po ninyo ako para makapiling ko naman ng mami ko, ng mga kapatid ko, at lalong-lalo na para makapaglingkod na rin sa inyo.
Like all candidates of the newly created Lakas ng Bayan or Laban Party, natalo sa eleksyon na yan si Ninoy. Habang nasa kulungan, inatake siya sa puso at kinailangan niyang operahan. Pero syempre, ayaw niya sa Pilipinas na gawin yung operation kasi nga medyo delicacy eh, kasi baka gamitin yun. At palabasin na lang na namatay siya habang inooperahan. Here's Inoy's own story of how he was allowed to go to the U.S. with his family.
All of a sudden, on Thursday morning, May 8, my wife visited me early in the morning and she told me, the hospital is crawling with Metrocom cars, guards all over the place. Baka kami magbibisita sa'yo. Then all of a sudden, my guards started jumping, putting their barong Tagalog, hiding all of their guns. I said, tama, may darating na VIP. And then lo and behold, the beautiful one ascended into my suite. She came, and she was really beautiful. She has not aged, and she sat down and said, naku, Ninoy, sabi niya, I'm sorry to see you like that. Hindi ko lang nasabi sa kanya, eh, kayo may kagagawa nito eh. At any rate, I had my bathrobe and I was like this, and she talked to me and we talked to her, and she was very nice about it. And then all of a sudden, after 1 hour, she said, would you like to go to America? America ko, sure, sure. Oh. Eh, sa tuwa ko, tinanggal ko pa yung aking kwintas, kako ang tinganting ko ito, iwan ako nakakapapir dito. Palayasin na niyo ako, pumunta niyo ako sa America. Sabi niya, there's a plane leaving at 6 o'clock. You can be in that plane. Ay, kako, thank you. And so, my friends, she ordered General Ver to instruct the Foreign Office to issue us passports. They called up the American Embassy to get us visa. My wife had to rush out to look for some money. And finally, at 2:30 in the afternoon, they brought me out of my room from the hospital, brought me to my house in a van. I never saw Manila, therefore. They gave me 30 minutes in my house to pack, to take a shower, put me back on the van, bring me to the airport, put me in a 747, and out of the Philippines.
Ninoy was very aware of the power of the Marcoses, so hindi niya isusugal yung kaligtasan niya. Malaking bagay yung pagpunta nila sa Amerika. Maliban sa naoperahan siya, nagkaroon din siya ng chance na magsimula uli at makasama at mamuhay ng may kaunting semblance of normalcy. Lalo sa pamilya niya. Here is Ninoy and Cory's daughter, Balsy Aquino, sharing an anecdote of their life in the U.S.
Ang dad was not one to be fixing things in the house. May isang fall na nabaha yung basement, non-stop. Kaka-operahan pa lang ng dad nun. Kaya, syempre, hindi ko kaya yan. So kami ng mga mom, sige, balde, akyat, tapon, hanggang nahanap nga ko ano pala yung valve na bubuksan para nga mawala lahat ng tubig.
Pero hindi nawala sa isip ni Ninoy yung position niya as a figure of the opposition. So dito sa isang interview with Cory, binanggit niya na napag-usapan nila ito.
And definitely, when we were in the United States, living in exile there, I would ask my husband, so what happens, you know, later on if, you know, something happens to you, who takes over? And he would always say, well, there are many people who will take over. And he would repeat this to his sisters and also to our friends. And I'm sure he never, ever thought that his own wife would someday be president.
And who would have thought, di naman talaga, that it would be possible? Like, after Ninoy was assassinated in 1983, Cory was thrust into the spotlight. In 1986, Marcos will reluctantly call for a snap election kasi na-pressure na rin siya ng international community dahil sa paglala ng communist insurgency at syempre yung reports ng mga human rights violations ng kanyang regimen.
And I guess we all know what happened since then, no? While Cory was ridiculed for being a housewife or being uninitiated in politics and governance, and despite all the vote buying, the fraud, and the intimidation of the Marcos side, the people just were not convinced that Marcos won the elections fairly. And we're talking about the 1986 snap elections here, ha? Hindi yung nakaraang elections. Independent watchdogs and the Catholic Church all found Cory as the winner of the elections. And this episode ends with the People Power Revolution in EDSA and the birth of a new Philippine Republic.
And everybody had high hopes for this republic. Ang laki at ang hirap ng task ni Cory. Unfortunately, she won't be able to escape the limitations of her class and the demands of her family's economic interests. Aminin natin, limitado ang demokrasyang naibalik pagkatapos ng EDSA.
Maraming examples no ng flaws ng leadership ni Cory. Halimbawa na lang yung pag-abolish sa tenancy system. Hindi lang yun kasalanan ni Cory, kasalanan ito ng Filipino political, economic, and landlord elites na nag-dominate ng post-EDSA Congress. Kasi sobrang daming exceptions sa naipasang Comprehensive Agrarian Reform Program o yung CARP to the point na wala na rin nangyari. Cory has overwhelming popular support when she became president. It could have been leveraged to pass key pieces of legislation. Pero madalas, kung hindi man namamatay yung initiatives within an elite-dominated Congress, mismong gabinete niya yung hindi magkasundo.
Yung isa pang challenge kay Cory was that she was battling her own military. This was a very challenging time kasi the only way to somehow appease the unruly military was to divert funds to defense kasi sanay sila na spoiled sila kay Marcos. However scarce the resources of the country that time may be, napunta pa sa pag-increase ng sweldo ng mga sundalo. Samantala, lumakas pa ang boses ng mga key figures ng military sa pamahalaan. And yet, despite this, Cory had to deal with 7 military coup attempts, halos 1 year ng buong termino niya.
She was also under siege by the left. Simula nang wala siyang nagawa noong mag-open fire ang mga police sa mga rallies sa Mindanao noong 1987, tandaan, mga farmers ang kalakhan ng mga taong ito na nagdedemand lang ng patas na pamamahagi ng lupa at disenteng pasahod. Kung tutuusin, itong usapin ng lupa ay isa sa pinakang malaking source of inequality no sa lipunang Pilipino.
At isa rin sigurong flaw ni Cory ay yung initially pagpanig niya sa pagpapatuloy ng US military bases sa bansa despite the popular opinion against these bases staying. Well, after all, it was the United States who supported her against the several coup attempts during her term. But I think it is also because Cory believed in the benevolence of the United States. Pero eventually, Cory had to concede at pinaalis din yung mga military bases sa bansa.
Sobrang ironic talaga niyang support niya sa US. Samantalang US din ang nag-rescue kay McCoy at sa Marcos family. I mean, at US din yung sumuporta actually sa kabuuan ng termino ni McCoy. Diba? At syempre, sa Estados Unidos din sila dinala pagkatapos nilang ma-aus ng people power.
Actually, ang dami pang pwedeng iba to kay Cory. Corruption continued, post-EDSA, political patronage persisted, while the country then only made little progress in addressing poverty. Nag-improve naman, although maliit lang yung improvement, kasi from 60% noong 1985, naging 50% na lang ang poverty sa bansa by the end of her term. And even sa level ng basic services, hindi maganda yung record ni Cory. Malala yung garbage collection problem ng Metro Manila during her term. And of course, napakaraming brownouts or blackouts noong kanyang term. Which, by the way, is one of my earliest memories as a child. So ayan, nire-reveal ko yung age ko. No?
Alam mo, tama. Siyempre, pati na rin yung choice niya to honor all the debts incurred by Marcos during his 20-plus year reign. No? A lot of people were saying that we should not have honored the debt kasi hindi naman yan pinakinabangan ng mga Pilipino. But one thing we can say is that she was very much the figure that people rallied behind, no? And this resulted in the dismantling of the Marcos dictatorship. Hindi naman ito usapin ng lesser evil or choosing which evil to bear. Despite all the false nostalgia and propaganda today, I mean, if we could all agree, kailangang matapos yung isang authoritarian regime tulad ng rehimeng Marcos. At kung yun yung isipin natin, I think malinaw na lalabas na may legacy talaga si Cory sa pagpapanumbalik ng demokrasya sa Pilipinas.
And what a symbolic representation she was for Filipinos. Someone reluctant, forced into leading a revolution. It's very powerful, and I may say poetic and charismatic, that inspired the people to come together and fight. Perhaps we could blame Cory for her failures, but also recognize her for what she stood for during that key moment when the country chose to fight for democracy.
Nung papalapit ng matapos ang termino ni Cory, may mga nagtatalo kung dapat bang tumakbo siya uli at magkaroon ng panibagong presidential term. Kasi naging presidente siya bago pa naman naisabatas ang 1987 Constitution. So technically, pwede siyang maging eligible to run for another term sa ilalim ng bagong Constitution. It's just a matter of arguing na lang din talaga.
Parang sounds familiar yung ganitong galawan, diba?
Yes, very GMA to, no? Pangalanan na natin. Kung nagkataon lang naganid sa kapangyarihan si Cory, madali sanang gawa ng paraan, no? At sabihin niya, sige, tatakbo ako. Pero matigas ang paninindigan niya na hindi na siya tatakbo ulit. Naniniwala siya na kung magpapare-elect siya, masisira lang nito yung diwa na nagdala sa kanya sa posisyon. Yung diwa ng EDSA, yung diwa ng pagpapatalsik sa isang diktador na ayaw bumitaw sa kapangyarihan. So I think talagang ipinakita ni Cory sa desisyon niya na ito, yung prinsipyo niya at yung paniniwala sa diwa ng pagbabago at demokrasya na sinisimbolo ng People Power Revolution. Hindi lang ito tungkol sa legality or technicality ng constitution, kundi sa mas malalim na prinsipyo ng liderato at pananagutan niya sa bayan.
And as a former president naman, pwede pa rin magpatuloy ang kanyang influence kung gugustuhin niyang gamitin ito for the good. Ideally, former presidents become more like advisors or leaders of civil society. Pero nakita rin natin na may mga presidenteng galit din talaga. As in like, walang delikadesa at tumakbo pa sa ibang posisyon, di ba? Pero si Cory, hindi. So while she remained active politically, she was, you know, a private citizen. Yes, nag-endorse siya ng mga presidential candidate like Alfredo Lim na natalo kay ERAP noong 1998. And later, sumama siya sa panawagan na bumaba si ERAP at sinuportahan niya si GMA noong EDSA 2.
Pero later, nung lumabas yung Hello, Garci, nanawagan din si Cory na mag-resign si GMA at talagang sumama pa siya sa mga rally to push GMA to resign. She was also, of course, instrumental and critical dun sa success ni Noynoy nung senatorial race nito nung 2007. And then, as you remember, her death in 2009 was also a push factor, kaya nagkaroon ng popular support for Noynoy to run for the 2010 presidential elections. And of course, the rest is history.
In recent years, parang napuwersa tayong i-reevaluate itong bahagi ng kasaysayan natin kaugnay ng martial law at EDSA revolution. I would say this is an opportune time to look back. At yan naman talaga yung goal natin dito sa podcast.
That's right. So for the next 7 episodes, babalikan natin ang ilang mga piling personalidad at grupo na influential sa pagbubuo ng kasalukuyang porma ng pamahalaan at lipunang Pilipino. So thank you very much for joining us in this episode.
Sana patuloy ang inyong support sa podcast. Follow us in our social media pages, subscribe to our YouTube channel Podcast TV, and share our episodes to your friends and family.
Next week, magbabalik tayo for another episode. For now, maraming salamat sa pakikinig, and as always, have a good day.